From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Wednesday to each and every one of you. We're off to a flying start, Father Mitch.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you would like to be part of the program, we'd love to have you. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Vanessa Sanchez producing the program today. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Tom Price handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you can like the program. That'll help us. You can subscribe to the channel. That'll help us even more. And you can even text your question to Father Mitch. Just text your first name, how you're listening, and a brief question to our main call-in number, 833-288-3986. And our host, as he is, and remember, message and data rates may apply. Our host, the
aforementioned
the semi-petrified Father Mitch Pacwa. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine for petrification to have taken place. I'm doing all right.
There you go. So you were laboring over a term in an email, and when you asked me about it, it totally slipped my mind that you don't really have to worry about that because I'm going to forego the email section of today's program in the first segment.
Well,
I want to talk about your 50th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
50 years of priesthood, 30 plus years at EWTN, and I was telling you
42.
The good folks at St. Elias Maronite Catholic Church here in Birmingham, where you have helped out as a bi-ritual priest for many, many years. Acknowledged your 50th anniversary this past Sunday, had a lovely reception afterwards in honor of you. Some people came back from out of town to join in that celebration. And I told you that it just coincidentally, I just happened to stumble across one of the Walter Martin debates that was done on John Ankerberg's show.
Yeah.
Back in the, you said the 80s,
mid to late 80s. Yeah.
And it was funny because I said, some things have changed a lot. Some things haven't changed at all because there was a lot more brown hair, a lot browner beard,
yes,
a few less pounds, a much younger voice.
Yes.
But you answered every question by saying a couple of things. that has never left you.
No, I think that stays with, probably will. No, it's just... you know, because usually there are a couple of things that you want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you grew up in Chicago, obviously, and so that...
Insofar as any guy grows up.
Yeah, well,
just
yeah.
Asking the ladies, that's something up for grabs.
Excellent point. So, that probably had as big an influence as anything on your life, mm-hmm, every aspect of your life, including your potential vocation, mm-hmm, and you had some, quite frankly, especially in your early priesthood, you had some pretty dramatic and traumatic instances that our Lord had you live through.
Yes.
And it's pretty amazing that after something so dramatic as those instances, especially working with the street gangs in the inner city in Chicago, mm-hmm, that you would have even wilder adventures later in your priesthood.
I know. This is one of the things that I you know, I'm willing to walk into a lot of places that, you know, other people don't necessarily. When various options for adventure show themselves, I take it, with some exceptions. You know, there are a few crazy things I don't do, but for instance, people have suggested that I jump out of an airplane with a parachute. No, nor without one, for that matter. No. I'm very comfortable with the seats in the airplane. Yeah, there's no need to do crazy things.
How about a balloon? Have you been up in a balloon?
No.
Would you go?
That I'd do. Yeah. But usually those are for special, you know, you got to tourism kind of things. But yeah, I've gotten into a wide variety of adventures, and I've never really understood why some people find time to get bored. I just don't have the time. There really are a lot of cool things going on in life, and I enjoy it. You know, and there's, and it's not just looking for an adrenaline rush, just for the sake of having an adrenaline rush. It's looking, you know, as different options and things come up, you take them, and some of them are just plain fun. You know, for instance, having gone a bunch of times alligator hunting down in Louisiana, that's just fun. But then there are other adventures that are about, and this would be the main ones, trying to proclaim Christ in a variety of situations and being willing to go to all sorts of circumstances, in not only street gangs in Chicago, but, you know, getting to spend time and hang out with headhunters in Borneo, who are many of whom had become Catholic and others were, you know, moving towards Catholicism. I totally agreed with them that, you know, seeking to eat the body and drink the blood of Christ was a great improvement over doing the same to their neighbors, which they had done.
Yeah.
You know? And they were, you know, meeting people who realize what a wonderful change it is to, instead of worrying about the revenge from your victims, to realize that Christ offers himself in the Holy Eucharist. That's really cool. And celebrating Mass with them. This is really cool. So yeah, there are lots of adventures, and
I think you probably have found yourself with your more than your fair share of those adventures, primarily because you have, on some level, on a pretty significant level, yielded your will to the will of the one who called you to the society.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you need to do that.
Everybody should.
Yeah, this is, I was just going to say, this is a big part of matrimony. You know, that matrimony has its own adventure. You don't know what your children are going to be like. Some of them are very challenged with sickness and such. Others challenged because they're brats. And then, you know, dealing as a husband and wife, these are all wonderful adventures, and you have adventures together because you don't know where you're going, and seeing where our Lord is taking you. This is a major part of every vocation. But I was speaking this morning how if we listen to the vocation that Christ gives us, the way that he calls us, you'll be led to the adventures he wants you to have. And you'll find much more joy in following the vocation he gives you than doing your own thing. You know, trying to live your life as you want to do is not, I just don't find that attractive. But you know, to see, Lord, what do you want? What are, who are the people you're sending me to? A friend of mine who helps with arranging flights when I go to speak at conferences and other things. You know, whenever she's learned that there are times when plane rides get canceled, delayed, missed, things like that. And her question is, are you okay? But whom did you meet? What was the adventure you had? You look at even that as, Lord, you know, just keep your eyes open. There's maybe somebody you need to talk to.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, EWTN has expanded our mission on YouTube with brand spanking new channels made just for you. Visit our main YouTube channel and explore the new navigation bar and subscribe to the channels that speak to your heart. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, there is an EWTN channel for you on YouTube. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. To the phones we go. Joanne is up first in Naples, Maine. Father, we talked during the break. We haven't heard of Naples, Maine.
No.
She's watching on YouTube today. Joanne, where on earth is Naples, Maine?
Hello, Jack and Father Mitch. Well, Naples, Maine is 35 miles west of Portland. It's on the border of about 45 minutes from the border of New Hampshire by Mount Washington. And actually, there's Denmark, Norway, Sweden, China, Mexico, all little towns surrounding it.
Interesting.
So Naples, and it's a one traffic light town. Does that give you any idea what it's like?
Yeah, I was hoping there'd be at least some canals.
There are actually two very large lakes and a pond, and they all connect.
Oh, but there Father you go. Mitch, well, that's perfect.
I last talked with you in July because your birthday is 2 days after mine.
Ah.
And I mentioned then that I recall the first time I met you, you had come to a novena in Bangor, Maine. Then in November, I came to a pilgrimage for my first time at EWTN. And Teresa Tomio and Jana Marana had a True Cross, Holy Cross pilgrimage. And you took us to St. Elias for a wonderful Mass. And it was just really so interesting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place there. I love the Jack. You were there this Sunday to join the parishioners.
Well, and we
celebrate.
Also have one of our daughters and their family are Maronite.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We visit.
Familiar with the right
in Fort Lauderdale Maronite Parish with a certain amount of frequency.
And it's so prayerful, and it's wonderful the way you know the parishioners join in. It's a very prayerful celebration of the liturgy. And as I sometimes tell my friends who would like me to celebrate Latin, I like the Latin. I don't have any problem with it, but it's just too modern. I like the Aramaic.
That's funny. God bless you, Joanne. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. One open line for you at 833-288-3986. We make the long trek from Maine all the way over to Washington. Mike is in Spokane listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Mike, you're on with Father Mitch.
Oh, thank you both for taking my call. And Father Mitch, congratulations
on
50 years as a Jesuit, Society of Jesus.
Yeah. It's been 58 years in the society and 50 years a priest.
Great, great. God bless. I know you're a cowboy at heart. Do you have any favorite, well, I have another question too. Do you have any favorite cowboy movies?
First of all, anything with John Wayne. I mean, The Searchers is one of my favorites by him. And that's a good one. And She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, which was made the year I was born. But it really is a fine movie. But in general, I find it hard for John Wayne to do a bad cowboy movie. And those are among my favorites. And of course, you know, there's always Tombstone. You know, I quote that a lot. You know, that's a really fine Western. So those would be among my favorites.
Question two, Father, is on Newman Center, John Henry, Cardinal Newman.
Yes.
The Newman Centers are on secular campuses, and it was a blessing for me to have these on a secular campus.
Yes.
Especially for Catholics looking for a place to be, because that can be a difficult time. So Newman Centers are so essential on secular campuses. Could you explain more about that, the Newman Centers?
Yeah. First of all, John Henry Cardinal Newman wrote a book on universities. It's not very long, but it's a really wonderful book. Remember, he was English. He had been an Anglican clergyman before he became a Catholic. He was part of the Oxford movement, which was a major recovery of study of the early church and the fathers of the church. And if you've ever seen that multi-volume collection on the fathers, the anti-Nicene, the Nicene, and post-Nicene fathers, three parts, he's one of the translators. And that whole series came out of that Oxford movement. And what he wanted is not what we see on so many college campuses today, where the faculty gives very easy grades, often and it tries to push their own ideology rather than tries to get students to think. And they exclude many people from campus. Horribly, they've been excluding Jewish students from and people who would be more politically conservative from expressing any opinions, sometimes keeping them off of campus. That is the exact opposite of what John Henry Newman said about the university, that the university should be a place where all positions engage in solid discussion. Unfortunately, there are too many people who are so ignorant, including the faculty members, that they are incapable of engaging other people. He wanted the university to be a place of engagement, of thought. That included the idea of Catholics being present on non-Catholic universities, not only in terms of coming there as students, but as faculty to engage the students in serious questions of the faith, meaning of life, existence of God, the relevance of God, etc. And to also have Catholic centers of worship on university campuses where there was none, and sometimes where Catholicism was still forbidden. So, for instance, even in the United States, I used to go and celebrate Mass for the university students at University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee. Catholic Mass was prohibited from being celebrated on that campus by the charter of the school itself. And I don't know if that's still the case, but it was then. And so we went across the street and we celebrated Mass. But engagement of our faith life and engagement intellectually was the goal of the Newman Center. And that's a very important thing. And you see, interestingly enough, that it's universities in the southern states that do allow diversity of thought. I just saw a survey, you know, they went to different campuses. And up in the northern and especially the Ivy League universities, diversity of thought is not tolerated. These are intolerant people. Don't go to their schools. I mean, they are just intolerant. Whereas places like Texas A&M is a very diverse campus. They allow that, and
very active Newman Center.
And I was going to say, at their Newman Center, I forget, they had a few hundred kids become Catholic this last year. In other words, as the engagement, you know, takes place, people are able to take part in the life of the campus, and it opens even more people to Catholic teaching. This is that was Newman's suspicion, that if people really got to meet not a cartoon version of Catholicism, but actual Catholicism, then they would become engaged and want to pursue the faith. And that's the purpose of the Newman Centers.
You know, another beautiful thing that we've seen in recent decades with the advent of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, founded by Curtis Martin, the way they work in conjunction with the Newman Center on any campus that they go to is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. They definitely want to work together with them. And for a period in the 70s and 80s, Newman Centers became places of a lot of experimentation with the liturgy and things, some of which was a little odd, if not outright wacky. I think that was a fad that's kind of faded away. And today, the Newman Centers and the chaplains at the universities often have more acceptance of Catholicism than you sometimes find in some of the old Catholic universities. That's also a fact.
And really quick, we got about a minute left here before we have to take a break. Mainstay fixtures here at the liturgy at EWTN, Mark and Celine McCoy, sent us a text, and they wanted to wish you a happy 50th anniversary.
Oh, that's very nice.
And Celine has a question. I can tell this is Celine just by the way it's written.
Yes.
She has a question. She said, "We're slogging through Numbers in Deuteronomy and wondering what gives with all the repetition. All the ordinances are repeated over and over again. We know you wouldn't skip any of it, but is it okay for us to skip it?"
Seeing as how neither of you are looking to become ordained to celebrate Jewish sacrifices, I wouldn't worry about skipping over it. There are a lot of very interesting things in there, and you can get, when I applied for my job at University of Dallas, I did it on those liturgical laws. But yeah, you can skip through those or go quickly.
Straight ahead, we'll talk to Drew, Eleazar, and Mike. And we've got plenty of time for your calls as well. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. As advertised, next up is Drew, a first-time caller in San Diego, California. paradise. Listening on Sirius XM Channel 130, Drew, you are on with Father Mitch.
Thank you. Congratulations, Father Mitch, on your 50 years of great, great service and great work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Congratulations to you on getting to live in San Diego. it's a beautiful city.
Question. Please help me understand John chapter 6.
Uh-huh.
The body and blood of Jesus. Is it, dude, what precise words? Are they accidents? Are they substance? Is it the physical body and blood of Jesus?
Okay.
What is?
Okay.
What?
All right. Yeah. Keep this in mind, that the accidents refer to the color, the taste, the weight, the sweetness, dryness of the wine that was used and the bread that was used. And those accidents will remain the same. But what we and this is what Christ teaches, because there's an emphatic use of is in, you know, the Semitic languages, Hebrew and Aramaic both. It is very easy to grammatically correct to skip saying the verb to be, so you don't say the word is sometimes. Arabic, same way. You know, you'll say huwa rajulun kwayis. It's just he, a good man. All right? And so you don't need the word is. It's understood. But in the consecration, in the various narratives of the consecration, our Lord does use the word estin, ta estin ta soma mu. You know, and this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. And it's emphasizing that no matter what happens to the accidents, the substance of bread, it doesn't happen, in fact. The substance of breadness is no longer there by the power of the Holy Spirit and the spoken word of Christ. The substance of breadness is changed to the substance of the body of Christ, and the substance of wineness is changed to the blood of Christ substantially. So that when he says, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink, and unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have eternal life. This is what's being addressed there. So that substantially, it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. That the Holy, not just in the Holies, but the Holy Eucharist is substantially the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Does that help?
Does substance mean physical, living flesh?
Okay. This is one of the things that in the definitions, they skip the word physical. They don't use, they rejected, in fact, the word physical for this reason. If you use the word physical to understand it, then you will be tempted to think, I have a host that is part of our Lord's earlobe. This is part of his foot. This one is part of his nose or his lips. No. We don't. It is the whole of Christ who is present substantially, and that the host becomes substantially his body. That's why we don't use the word physical. It's fraught with the risk of thinking that this is only a part. And this is one of the reasons, for instance, that some people, you know, insist they have to receive the blood and the body of Christ because they think they're not getting the whole Christ. No. If you, again, I'll never forget meeting a Jesuit priest who had been captured by the Chinese communists and was in prison for a number of years before they did a prisoner release or a prisoner exchange program between the United States and China. And his mother had smuggled hosts in with a package of Necco candy. In between each candy, she put one host. And then a little container of wine. And he would break that each host into as many tiny pieces as he could. He would celebrate Mass using the cap as his chalice. And then he would take those little fragments and distribute that during the recreation time to each of the other priests in the prison. He was with in prison with lots of other priests. And and no matter how small a fragment each of those priests received, they still received the whole of Christ, the whole person of Christ. So that's why we don't use the word physical. The fragment size does not limit in any way the presence of the whole Christ, nor is it limited when a person receives only the body of Christ, or in the case of some people, those who are ill, they receive only the precious blood.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. You know, we had that text before the break from the McCoys, and Mark and Celine do not strike me as surfers. But do you know what the surfer's favorite book of the Bible is?
No.
Deuteronomy. Wow. 833-288-3986.
You graduated from dad jokes to grandpa jokes.
There you go. We head next to the great state of Illinois. Eleazar is listening on iHeartRadio today. Eleazar, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch.
Hey, Elisa. How you doing?
Good, good. I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you thank you. Many thanks to you and the network. You made a big difference in, you know, the way that I've been thinking lately. I've been going through some hard times, and watching you every morning on Daily Mass and the novenas and a lot of the different programs that you have on, and just listening to Scripture has helped me a lot. And, you know, I had been absent from like Mass every week for, you know, a while. I just went off and on here and there, but mm-hmm. I've been going every week, and I started going every day to the morning Mass sometimes. And I have trouble with my type 1 diabetes sometimes. So like, it's hard to me to, you know, in the morning to, you know, either stay home or go to church. I had to make up. I fight with myself because I really want to go to church, but, I watch a program every morning in the Daily Mass on the, you know, when it's on at 7 o'clock, and even if I go to Mass in the morning and I watch it on Sundays, I watch it again. Sometimes I watch it 2-3 times a day because I just like to hear the homily, and especially like to hear your Latin. I just wanted to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for all that. I appreciate it. You know, and you know, there's sometimes when we have these physical disabilities, you know, that, you know, it's difficult with diabetes and other difficulties. But if, you know, there sometimes it's a temptation to sort of, well, you know, I've got it, and you can give in. But it's, you know, usually... again, not to endanger yourself in any way or endanger anybody else, but it's usually better to overcome that, say, no, if I can make it, I'm going to. There's something, especially when I've experienced, you know, the times where I might feel really tired or something, I said, no, overcoming that is a great help. And usually there's something that is supposed to happen that I need to be there for, and that's a great help. So I certainly encourage you to keep that up. Keep me in your prayers, Eliezer. Appreciate a lot.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Mike is in Louisville, Kentucky, watching on Roku today. Mike, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hello, Father.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Well, how are you?
Oh, just groovy.
I have myself and my brother and my wife listening in, and my question was about the authority of the Pope's succession from Peter on down through the ages. Where do we talk to people about that being the only way, and that's what Christ wanted?
Sure. Well, you have, in fact, there's that great scene in A Man for All Seasons. Have you ever seen that movie?
I did, but my memory is poor.
Well, it's worth seeing again if you can rent it or something. It's just not only beautifully shot and well acted, but there's a great line where finally Thomas knows that he's going to be executed, and he just makes that confession. Look, the issue is that Christ put Peter as the head of the church, and that his very name, Peter, or in the Aramaic form that is used in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and is then translated as Peter, Kephas, in Aramaic, Petros in Greek, that means rock itself, and it's the rock on which the Lord builds the church. And that shows itself up, especially in Acts of the Apostles. As a matter of fact, I would just add this, all the names in the Bible, Peter is second only to Christ. You know, that's how prominent he is in the Gospels. And then in Acts of the Apostles, we see how Peter takes the lead. He takes the lead at Pentecost. He takes the lead when the crippled man is healed, though John is with him. He's in that leadership role when he goes and confirms the Samaritans. The deacon, Philip, goes ahead and baptizes the Samaritans, but Peter goes there to give them the Holy Spirit, and his leadership is shown there, including when he rebukes Simon the Magus, Simon the magician. And very importantly, in chapters 10 and 11, Peter is the one to whom our Lord reveals that it is acceptable for Christians to eat animals that were not kosher in the Old Testament, but now God has declared them clean. And that's made known to Peter. So over and over again, and then as we look at history, the list of popes, if you take a look at, there are a number of these lists of the bishops of Rome. You see this in St. Irenaeus in his Contra Haeresis, and then you also see it in Eusebius' History of the Church. Now remember, St. Irenaeus wrote his book while he was living at Lyon in France. And then Eusebius of Caesarea was the Bishop of Caesarea in the Holy Land, Caesarea Maritima. These lists, there's a third list. Well, there's also the list in the city of Rome. They all trace themselves back to Peter. No matter what part of the world they're in, they trace back the bishops of Rome, and even when Saint Irenaeus writes his epistle to the Romans, he calls them the preeminent church. You know, this that's how he addresses them. This is something that's a very important part of, you know, what we have for this. And then over the centuries, the popes of Rome have shown this leadership. So this is pretty well established.
God bless you, Mike. Thanks so much for the phone call today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. You know, you've been swimming in a pool of Franciscans for decades.
Yes.
And one of them is going to be on the show tonight, Father Joseph Merritt. Yes. What are you guys going to talk about tonight?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was here swimming before they started.
They were Augustinians when you got here, probably.
No, they didn't exist.
They were nothing yet, huh?
Yeah, okay. They didn't exist. You know, I've been coming here to make programs for 42 years, and their community is not that old. So, so I've been along. But Father Joseph wants to talk about, sort of is going to interview me about, you know, what priesthood is like, and sort of reflecting on some things. And even he said, you know, that after Mass, that there are a few things about me that he learned for the first time this morning, so he's going to have, he has more questions.
There you go. That's EWTN Live with Father Mitch Paqua tonight, 8 Eastern Time. And keep it right here, coming up next on many of these EWTN affiliates, Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Jim is up next in the Queen City, Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Jim, you're on with Father Mitch.
Well, first of all, congratulations to the Polish cowboy padre, Father Mitch Paqua, on 50 years.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I love the fact that you love the cowboy stuff, too. I'm younger than you. I could have probably been one of your students when you were teaching high school or whatever. Maybe not far, that far back, but close to it anyway.
Oh, maybe. I taught in Cincinnati back in 72 to 74.
I had been too young then to do that then. But
but
anyway,
I
get to meet you with my wife at the 10th anniversary of Sacred Heart Radio. Do you remember that, going to Sacred Heart Radio, Guardian Angel, and you were talking there with Dr. Ray Guarendi and Teresa Thomas?
Yeah, him again, yes.
Laid out questions. Yeah. You did a great job, by the way. I just want to say, you're excellent. I went to a men's conference, too, so you're an outstanding theologian. I just want to compliment you.
Thank you.
I think you're pretty much one of the premiers. I don't think I can pick out too many more that know more than you, and that's a gift from God, so God bless you for that. And I did want to ask you a couple questions. One, I want to say, Clint Eastwood, I love John Wayne, and I love Clint Eastwood. If I had to say, maybe I have an edge for Clint Eastwood, but they were going to do there was talk to do a movie together, but it didn't happen because, yeah, John Wayne, I understand, wasn't too thrilled with Clint Eastwood's Cowboys.
Yeah. You know, one of the changes that happened is Clint Eastwood started a trend, he may not have been the very first one, but it was the anti-hero. And this was, if he wasn't the very first, he was one of them. And, you know, this is where he is in it for himself. And he happens to get a lot of the bad guys. Now, I remembered him as Rowdy Yates back in Rawhide, And of course, he was, you know, one of the young cowboys in that. They said, yeah, I could see myself becoming a cowboy such as he is. But the roles that he played in the 60s were the anti-hero type, who still is in it for himself, but he'll undo a bunch of bad guys as collateral damage. But the way that John Wayne and a lot of the more traditional cowboy movies were is to, you know, have a set of values. And of course, John Wayne did the big movies and got, you know, great roles and such, but I was really fond of Hopalong Cassidy and Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, of course. These were guys who were trying to make sure they stopped the bad guys because they were bad. Lone Ranger is another one. These were the model of cowboys that I grew up with. And, well, there's a certain entertainment value in, you know, the anti-hero thing. It was more about the growing cynicism of culture in the 1960s that I don't think has served us well. That same thread seems to show up in the some of these superhero movies that are going on, which I don't find particularly attractive myself.
God bless you, Jim. Thanks so much for the phone call today. John is in the great state of Maryland, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. John, you're on with Father Mitch.
Yes, Father Mitch. My question is, when we die, and most of us go to purgatory, and then hopefully eventually to heaven, mm-hmm. will people that have died before us, like, for example, my wife has passed before me, so she's in purgatory there, and I go to purgatory when I die, will I know her there as each other when we know each other?
Oh, and then I would be absolutely shocked if you didn't. Have you ever read Dante?
No.
I would. Dante's book, The Divine Comedy, has three parts. Most college courses only read the Inferno. Maybe that's as far as they think they'll get. I don't know. However, there's also the Purgatorio and the Paradiso. And of course, these are all translated into English. I would urge you to do so, because what he is doing is putting into this absolutely fantastic poem, a long, long poem, the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, and the way that there is that recognition of various, the damned, as well as those in purgatory, and of the redeemed in heaven. And that's good. And again, I always add this, you know, keep aiming at heaven. Don't aim at purgatory. You know, yeah, I mean, I'll be glad to get there. But because, again, it's not a second chance for those who sometimes think, oh, it's Catholic second. No, it's not a second chance. It is for the redeemed who need purification. But what we do in this life is aim at the perfection of holiness that Jesus called us to in the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And aiming for heaven, and then, you know, that's better, you know, than shooting too low, as I've sometimes done.
And we're almost out of time, Father, but Vinny in Hamilton, Ohio, wants to know if you have any words for baby boomers and retired folks with regard to vocations.
You know, a lot of times, if a person is retired too long, the dioceses, you know, are going to be hesitant about moving toward ordination and things like that. But I would go to your local parish at the first step and see what can I do to help, and then watch what doors our Lord opens to to see that you get to where he wants you to be.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Lord, bless you all and keep you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Mitch Pacwa, our producer, Vanessa Sanchez, call screener, Matt Kubensky, and our social media maven today, Mr. Tom Price, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Wednesday. Be sure to check Father Mitch and Father Joseph Mary Wolfe out tonight on EWTN Live, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television. And we're back at it tomorrow with Father Gerald Murray. Until then, God bless.